Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's always great when you hear a story about how you had money to do something that the area needed and you couldn't get the community to buy into it. So you lost that secure funding source. We'll talk about where all that money went. We were talking about the Lenexa shelter, which, as many of you know, for homeless people did not go forward despite having the $10 million in federal COVID-19 money that was going to be used for it. We'll talk about who got that money instead. But the Star profiled a gentleman who, this guy named Brian, who they only used his first name. He ended up in a really bad car wreck. He had been T-boned while delivering packages for Amazon and came out with several back, neck, and bone injuries. His workers' comp wasn't enough to keep paying his rent in Johnson County, so he needed a place to live. And that's when he found out that Johnson County had no shelters. They had no space available. He ended up going and getting the last bed available at City Union Mission, but he ended up leaving. He said all he knew was Johnson County. He tried to go home, but he found that Johnson County lacks some key services, including a year-round shelter for individuals experiencing homelessness. We almost had one, but Lenexa City Council didn't pass it.
Right.
Despite having $10 million set aside for that shelter.
What happened to the $10 million then?
Here's where it all went, yeah. Because the money needed to go somewhere. That's what's infuriating. I don't understand. You secured the funding source. You have the need. You had the place, an old hotel. What's the problem? $2.5 million went to a 50-plus home development by Habitat for Humanity of Kansas City. $3.1 million went to Friends of Johnson County Developmental Supports to buy and renovate properties to create affordable multifamily units. About a half million went to the Salvation Army for its family shelter expansion in Olathe. Okay. $137,000 went to Project 1020 operations as the county's only cold weather emergency shelter for adults, $175,000 for United Community Services.
Okay.
None of that is a new homeless shelter for people who need it.
You know, we have a dual issue here, and it's one, we discussed this ad nauseum last hour, but the mental health crisis in this country, which is not being addressed, which leads to homelessness,
sure.
But also rising house prices.
Yeah.
And we've been immune to that for a while here in Kansas City, here even in Johnson County, but housing prices are going up. Wages are not.
Yes.
And I don't think
grocery prices are going up. I mean,
I don't think we're ready for what is coming, because what is coming is a lot more homelessness, and without any shelters to put them in, what are you going to do? You're just going to it drives me nuts, because I've heard commentary on this from other people. And the commentary is basically like, well, I don't want that kind of element in Lenexa. I don't want that kind of element in my town. I don't want that kind of element in Johnson County. Okay, so then the element that you're encouraging then without that is homelessness out on the streets.
Right.
Somehow that's better?
Right.
How is that better?
Yes. We are going to have homeless people, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
They're not all felons. They're not all, they don't have a criminal background. They're not all people that you try to avoid on the street. Some of them are people like Brian, who just got into a wreck and couldn't, you know, whatever those circumstances were, and couldn't work. And his workers' comp ran out. Here's where he ended up instead. For those of you that, you know, don't want them near you. He ended up back in Johnson County. He made a home in the Lenexa City Center, sleeping in parking garages as close to the wall as possible, using his breath to keep him warm. He slept in the elevators of parking garages and under overpasses on rainy nights. He took 3 buses to get to physical therapy for his injury and 3 buses back to Lenexa. My guess is so that he could eventually start working again. He had to learn about the organizations that provide meals and water to help with survival. And this is what he said. You're living with anxiety and depression, uncertainty, genuine fear, physical, mental exhaustion. You're managing the weather. You're hoping you're not going to get woken up by an officer. You have all of this you're managing, but you still have to keep going. He eventually got a temporary place to live and a new job. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? That's the point, is that so many people who are unhoused, they're homeless, do eventually get out of that. The vast majority of people are able to get out of that situation. But it's harder to get out of that situation when you don't have a place to stay, when you don't have a physical address.
A place to charge your phone.
A place to charge your phone. A place to take a shower.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to get a job if you've been living on the streets. It makes it harder. So if you want people to get jobs, don't just yell at them to get a job, because who's hiring that guy?
Yeah. It's not all the image of the panhandlers who are just looking for, you know, a free ride.
Yeah.
I think you're right. A lot of this is people that genuinely just need it for a little while until they can get back on their feet. Why do we not? Again, it makes me crazy. We had the money set aside. Yeah. We had the $10 million. It could have happened. What's the problem? What are city leaders afraid is going to happen? Because again, that was the city council in Lenexa. It did not pass. My guess is then they heard from constituents who did not want it to be that hotel. Where would you, back to your point, where would you rather they be? In the parking garage where you work with the person sleeping in the corner, or contained in a place where they can also get support services?
Right.
And out of that situation. It's going to be one or the other. Mm-hmm. By the way, I live on a street where I don't live far off Warnell. I mean, we have plenty of homeless people on our street. I've never felt nervous.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm okay with it, you know?
And that's with them out on the street, too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you would feel, even if you were nervous at all, it'd be a lot less nerve-wracking if you knew that they had a place to go.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. And here's my biggest problem with this. It's treated like a behavioral issue. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's a math issue.
Yes.
When rent crosses a third of income, which we're crossing now in the Kansas City area, especially in Johnson County, prices are going up. Every time the price of rent as an average goes up $100 year over year, you see a 10% increase in homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up. It is directly correlated with the cost of housing. Rents are climbing. Mortgages are climbing. And unlike KCMO in Johnson County, we don't have a 24/7, 12-month-a-year shelter. Like a low barrier shelter is all we're asking for, or all I'm asking for. If prices go up again, the homeless numbers will too, and we're not ready for it.
Yeah, and again, it is math, and it's a lot of moving parts of math. It's once you lose your job, how do you get another one? It's easier to get a job while you have a job. It's, you know, you're without a job long enough, you can't make your car payment. Well, if you can't make your car payment, then you can't find a job elsewhere in the metro then. And so then you're stuck to wherever, you know, your little home base is. If we don't have one in Johnson County, then they're going to go and they're going to absorb resources from elsewhere in the metro that might have some of those resources available. It feels like a denial problem.
Yeah.
It feels like a Johnson County denial problem. And we have plenty of homeless, hundreds, in Johnson County.
I'd like to continue the math discussion here.
Yeah.
Is that just because you aren't spending money into building a homeless shelter does not mean all of a sudden none of your money is now going towards helping these people, because they suck up other resources.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sleeping out on the street and you need medical care because you've got, I don't know, frostbite, and you go to the ER, well, the ER has to treat them.
Right.
And so who's paying for that? Well, the taxpayers are paying for that.
Right.
So there are other resources that get absorbed if you are not giving them any other resources in other manners too. It doesn't just stop. Point.
Yeah, or you feel like you got to have extra security at the Lenexa City Center garage because of people that are sleeping
like
there.
It's going to cost resources anyway. If we want to just break it down into that, which, you know, I don't want to. These are people, you know, they deserve a certain level of dignity.
Yeah.
But if you just want to talk strictly a resource level and allocation of them, there's going to be costs coming from other spots.
I'm just looking into because I wasn't on air for the whole debate over the Lenexa. I know.
Planning Commission recommended approval.
It was inconsistent with the character of the area and a poor site. It was a La Quinta.
Yeah, it was an old hotel.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I've stayed at La Quintas before. They're not much better than homeless shelters. They're not a sponsor, right? But they aren't. They're not much better than a homeless shelter. What are you talking about? You're allowed a La Quinta to move in? Like, no, you know what? We'll allow a Motel 6, but the idea of a homeless shelter, no, that's crazy.
And it's good that in that list of where all that money is going, I mean, good for the Salvation Army. It's expanding its family shelter in Olathe. That's great. Mm-hmm. We need that. We need all the things that this money went toward, right? But we still do not have the one thing that we lack in Johnson County, which could have been, yes, that La Quinta Inn.
From the text line 4409, homelessness is about drugs and mental health, not rent. Build treatment centers, not shelters. No. First of all, yeah, okay, fine, do both then. Do both. Because these people need someplace to go. You can give them treatment, but if at the end of the day, they're getting treatment and then going and living on the sidewalk, they're still not getting jobs. It's not like every job, the barrier to getting that job is, can you pass a drug test?
Right.
That's very few jobs, in fact. So it's so frustrating. And then somebody like that will suggest, well, it's not about this, it's about that. Okay, well, then do something about that.
Yeah.
I don't wanna.
Yeah, let me just speak about veterans here for half a second, because of Veterans Community Project. Again, what we've learned, and I've been on their board 7 or 8 years, is that, I mean, some of the people that you're talking about might be veterans that we just haven't identified yet, or that, you know, that we're still working on. They might be veterans who have PTSD. They might be veterans who had a hard time transitioning and coming back, or got a divorce, whatever. I mean, they need a place to stay for a while. And then also they need financial literacy. They need job training. They need maybe their skills. Maybe they need someone to tell them how their skills from being on active duty apply to real world jobs. It's not they don't have skills. They need someone to help make the connections for a while. I think it is about having a place to stay. A lot of it is about those wraparound support services, filling in those blanks so that they don't end up back there again.
This is why, you know, they're people, you don't know their story, you don't know how they ended up there, and they deserve dignity.
Yes, absolutely.
This, you don't know them.
Yeah.
And somebody else on the text line brought up a good point. 2073 says, Joco keeps outsourcing their shelters and their beds to KCMO. If costs spike, where are people going to go? They're going to go. Basically, making the point that it's unfair to Kansas City for Joco to be like, yeah, no, we don't do homeless. You guys, they'll just go over there. So now there's less beds for people in KCMO because Johnson County refuses to do the responsible thing and have the homeless shelter. And all the texts are saying we don't want to have that kind of element in Johnson County. Guys, you already do. They're homeless people. They're living there.
Yeah.
Would you rather them be on the streets or in a La Quinta that I'm assuming isn't doing very well? Otherwise, it wouldn't be available for a homeless shelter.
Try to find half an ounce of compassion in yourself when people say things like that. It might be, again, you never know when this is going to be somebody in your family, maybe. You know, you just never know when it's going to be somebody close to you that ends up in a situation that they didn't expect to get into. And what about the, hey, let's all take care of each other? What about the human element of that?
No.
We don't want that element near us. What element exactly are you talking about?
Just bootstraps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, pull
get a job.
Up by the,
stop being lazy.
Yeah. That's always my favorite thing. He's like, do you need to go get a job? Look at them.
Yeah.
Who's hiring them?
Right.
Like, they need to be cleaned up. They need a place to rest. They look pretty tired. And if they're on drugs, they can get treatment at a homeless shelter.
Yeah. And if they're depressed because depression is keeping them from doing a job search, depression's really treatable.
Yeah.
We just got to get them the help.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. What is coffee badging? Moving from people who don't have jobs to people who do but don't want them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my favorite thing. What I've been in between jobs before, listening to people complain about their jobs.
About the conditions on their jobs. Yeah.
So what is coffee badging? We actually have mentioned it before on the show, but it's a fascinating thing where people don't want to come to work and then only show up for a little bit and then go back home. We'll talk about that next on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
CNBC had this story headline: bosses want people back in the office, because yes, we're still talking about this, but employees are finding a workaround. This time it's called coffee badging, as we get more and more creative about this. Workers are showing up for the required attendance, but that doesn't mean they're sticking around for the full day. It's like the kid that just shows up at school when attendance is taken and then ditches after that. Totally, it's basically that.
Totally never did that.
I'm sure you didn't. You're a perfect child.
Totally never went to and took the attendance card because they put it on the outside of the classroom.
Oh,
and put my name.
That's a bad move. That's so you were coffee badging before it was a thing. Before it was cool.
Before we had badges. Didn't need no stinking badges. Yeah. So, okay. The first thing is, why is it so important for bosses to have people in the building? I mean,
money.
God bless us that
they're paying for real estate.
We have a boss where it's not. I mean, he did want the first 3 or 4 months of the show wanted, at least I don't know, as far as I know, wanted us to be in studio, and then it's been kind of like, well, if you need to stay home a couple days, it's fine.
There's flexibility there
on Fridays
for sure. There's flexibility.
Yeah, it's nice. I don't know why it's so important for so many bosses. Is it because their job doesn't exist without people to yell at?
I think part of it is just old school thinking that if I can't see you working, you must not be working. With us, it's pretty obvious if we're working.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, like, you know, if we showed or not,
right.
And if we did,
it would be a little weird.
A full day or not. Like, it's the most obvious thing in the universe. You know, it's, we are not, we cannot coffee badge. There's no way in the universe we could do that.
Right.
But for some bosses, if I don't see you working, then you must not be working. It's that idea that you need to work an 8-hour day. Mm-hmm. Even if you're faster than other people that you work with, you need to be working a full 8-hour day in the office. It's so that meetings can happen, because we all love that. And some of it is all this real estate and all these offices are taking up all this room, and they want to use the offices that they're paying for.
I will never forget, at my former station, we went from this crappy old, it was like a former medical building in Dorchester, to this lavish place in Waltham, Massachusetts, that was costing us, I believe, $150,000 to $200,000 a month in rent. Millions of dollars a year to move into this building. And the first thing they did when they moved us all over the building was they started making cuts. They started, eliminating, because guess what? Oh, we actually can't afford this building. Mm-hmm. We actually don't have enough money for this building. But here's the thing. We needed this big building because we had such a huge staff. Mm-hmm. Well, now we only have half of the staff. So what are we doing with all these empty? And they still, as far as I know, rent out a bunch of empty rooms instead of actually paying people. I don't know why that's such an important thing for companies to have a piece of real estate, to have like it's like that's where we are. That's our headquarters. That's our imprint. Where, especially in broadcasting, there's plenty of like podcasting companies and stuff like that where people just work from home and they're doing it over Zoom with each other.
Yeah, the technology exists.
Yeah.
So that there's not a problem there. For those who are having a hard time imagining this, let me describe this a little bit for an example they give. They have a 27-year-old woman who works for a tech consulting firm in Atlanta and says she drives into the office once or twice a month, which is not a ton. When she's there, she commits to being there 11 until 3, just in time for a catered lunch, catch up with colleagues for a few hours, and head out before traffic stalls her horrible commute home, which in Atlanta, they have actual traffic. They have real, traffic.
Anybody's driven through Atlanta.
So they have an arrangement, they said, that everybody's open about. Her and management, spending a few shortened days in the office each month, takes needed time away from the actual work to socialize and build community, she says, but I'm a lot more productive when she's at home, so I get started there and wind down from there. And to be clear, she works an 8-hour day. She'll work an hour or two in the morning, then go in 11 until 3, and then go back home and work the rest of the afternoon. But it's kind of like, I used to have a boss, a news director, who would say, go to some of these events and some of the networking things and work team building things to get credit for showing up.
Yeah.
Like just be seen by the right people and say hi so that they know you were there and then
leave.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I thought after COVID we were going to make some serious progress in the direction of the work home life being a little more compatible and a little more flexible. And in some places it stayed that way or didn't regress totally, and in other places we went back 100%.
It is because we saw that productivity wasn't that different between people working at home.
It can be more sometimes because you're not spending the time out of your day to drive in and drive home.
How much does it, if you let it expand, if they let work from home expand, which they seem dead set against, they let it expand, how different would things be obviously if you work a manual labor job, you work construction.
Not everybody can do it.
Not everybody can do it. I most of the jobs I've had, I haven't been able to do it or wouldn't be able to do it. But in radio, it's a possibility. Yeah. And a lot of office jobs, it's a possibility. You know what I mean? It mean you could decentralize. It would mean better housing costs and housing prices because you could live wherever you wanted to live. You wouldn't need to live near a city or near a location. You could live wherever you wanted to buy some land and build a house out there. You know, it would be huge as far as solving a lot of problems in this country. But no, we're not going to do that because it's important that your boss sees you every day.
At the very least, think of the money that would be saved on the real estate. Mm-hmm. If companies are trying to save money, think about how much money companies spend in rent or in mortgage payments that they wouldn't have to pay anymore.
Right.
And you could save money that way instead of cutting staff.
That's the other thing is cities would be decentralized. You wouldn't need to have, and there wouldn't be, wouldn't be skyscrapers and all sorts of real estate that nobody would need anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Like I thought when this was happening, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like this will be revolutionary and cities will expand out or decentralize. We'll almost go back to how we used to be.
Because that was so great.
Right.
You know, because people were so more so productive then. Not everybody's good at working from home. Not everybody has the discipline. Some people need the social time. And so, sometimes it's good to have a hybrid model. But just think about your pool of candidates for a job. If you know the person doesn't have to move from where they are.
Yeah.
The kids don't have to leave their school district. You know, maybe the cost of living is cheaper where they live than where the job is. And that could save money. Federal government does that. They have like cost of living scales based on where you have to be for the job. I feel like it's an old school resistance.
Let's go to James in Bonner Springs. Hey, James.
Hey, one thing that I don't think you guys have hit on, and I noticed in my industry, is that you'll lose the, I don't know a good way to articulate this, but a good you lose the ability of younger employees or junior employees getting experience just through the conversations of more senior employees. Does that make sense?
You're not able to network as much. Mm-hmm. What Jamie was saying earlier, you need to be seen sometimes. Mm-hmm. You need to show up and for people to get familiar with you and to be a presence. Yeah.
Well, even with that, some experience that you would gain just from a project that maybe two senior people are working on that maybe the junior person isn't, but overhearing those conversations that you're not going to have, that you're not going to have otherwise.
All right.
I don't know how you would make that up.
James, I'm assuming you're driving, right?
I am. I'm sorry.
No. It's totally just
there's
okay.
a weird.
It was the weirdest. I'm used to
like
road
you were
noise.
In a tunnel.
It sounded like you were being swallowed by some kind of intergalactic beast. It was terrifying.
So that was a semi Jake breaking next.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for your call. We'll let you go so you can focus on driving again. He does bring up a good point. The only argument I would say against that is if people want to work from home. That's on them then.
Right.
If they lose
you
those
lose
interactions,
that. Yeah.
Then that's
their loss.
Their loss. That's their choice. Personally, I, you know, work from home on Fridays. I wouldn't choose to work from home exclusively. I like coming in. I like seeing people. I like going around and being part of the building. But if I had the option of, I think for most people when I was younger, if I had the option of working from home at some of the jobs I had when I was younger, I definitely would have.
Long before COVID, back, this would have been, 2012-ish, I worked from home full-time way before it was possible for everybody to. Mm-hmm. And it was because I had a full-time independent contractor job, and I could work from home. That's right. When I traveled for a year because I was able to take it with me. I learned then, I don't need the office interaction. We talk for 4 solid hours, so right. I'm already talking to
That's
people,
enough.
You know, it's I'm talked out.
Yeah.
I was okay working from home when COVID sent us home. I didn't like being home alone for all that time, but
real quick, let's go to John Roland Park. John, you only have about a minute, but you're saying we don't need 8-hour work days.
No, what I'm trying to say is when I read something on Google the other day, I think it was the guy from Samsung or one of those big corporations. He was saying with all the AI we have nowadays that eventually you may end up having people. I think the story was something like you might have people working 3 days a week
mm-hmm.
and all this kind of stuff. But the reality is if I'm a company and I've been paying you 40 hours of work and then you decide I only want to go home and do this stuff. Well, part of that is, you know what, you're probably getting your work done faster at home. Like a lot of the people that I knew during COVID, they were getting their work done in 3 or 4 hours. Well, then why should I pay you as much?
Why because you're getting the work done.
Because you have assigned all of your employees the same amount of work. Why should I be punished if I'm faster at it than somebody else?
Right.
That's fine. But if you're faster at it than somebody else, people in the corporate world get paid salary most of the time, unless you're an hourly employee. And if you want to just be like a government worker and do the bare minimum, that's fine. I work in retail. You know what? I have to come to my job every single day. Some people are slackers. Some people aren't. That's why you get pay raises.
But John,
if you can get the work done in 20 hours, why should I pay you for
free? That's a different type of situation, though.
The people who are slower.
If you're working in retail, you have to be there that long because you never know when customers might show up, and that is your job,
right?
Is to deal with the customers and put things out on the floor and whatever other jobs you might have. But it's dependent on people coming into the store and the store being open that long. Whereas if you work in an office, your job is not dependent on that. It's dependent on whatever the parameters of your job are. And those are typically not based on what time of day it is.
Yeah. If I'm doing data entry and I have to do 1,000 units of data entry and so does the guy next to me, why am I punished because I can get that 1,000 units done in 3 hours and it takes him 6?
Right.
Maybe he's screwing around some.
Yeah.
Look at him.
All right. Coming up, I want to talk about this story. Don't DoorDash your murder supplies.
What?
For the love of God, don't
DoorDash. How am I supposed to get them?
Well, there's a lot of ways. We'll talk about that coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we wrap the hour, Frank White, the recall election is tomorrow. We'll talk about the action he's taking to attempt to not have that election happen the day before it happens. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll work.
I have a lot of confidence.
We believe in you,
this.
Frank.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to happen.
Where do I get my murder supplies then?
Not from DoorDash. So a DoorDash driver, this is a crazy story. A DoorDash driver alerted police to a hostage situation after delivering suspicious items to a motel in Sweetwater, Texas last week. The driver called police after bringing the items to the Sweetwater Inn on Georgia Avenue around 11:30 a.m. Police confirmed that the driver placed the call and was suspicious because of his delivery, but they did not disclose what items were ordered. Witnesses told KTAB and KRBC that the suspect had items like trash bags, zip ties, bleach, a hatchet, and more. Again, he went on DoorDash and said, hey, go to the store, pick me up a hatchet, some bleach, zip ties, and a trash bag. And the driver was like, okay, a little weird, goes into the store and buys his stuff and is probably thinking to himself, this sounds like something you would buy if you were going to murder somebody. Well, officers arrived at the suspect's hotel room and found a hostage.
Yeah, he had a hostage. He didn't want to leave the hostage alone to go get the stuff.
Being held inside, the hostage was rescued before being arrested for an outstanding warrant. Wait, hold on. The hostage had an outstanding warrant? I don't know.
This is very, very bad writing.
Yeah.
The hostage was rescued before the suspect was...
Or unless the hostage also had...
I think some words are missing.
What a bad day for that hostage. If they're like, yeah, you're about to be murdered. No, we saved you at the last minute, but nope, you had an outstanding warrant.
Actually, that might be true.
I think that's what happened.
Because if you read the next line, after a brief standoff, the suspect also was arrested on warrants and charges related to the hostage situation.
So the hostage thought they were going to get killed, then got saved, and then got told by the police, oh, but there's an outstanding warrant, so we need to take you to jail.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of forward thinking in this situation. Usually, if you're going to go murder a hostage, you go to multiple... Like, we learned this in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy all your supplies in one place. He gives that kid a little bit of advice.
Yeah.
Don't get everything in one place.
Stay out of my territory.
Yeah. So that was the mistake there.
After a brief standoff involving officers from Sweetwater Police Department and the Texas Department of Public Safety, the suspect was also arrested on warrants as well as charges related to a hostage situation. He'd only been publicly identified as a man from Snyder, Texas. Oh, you know how those guys are.
Men
from Snyder, especially. So there you go. I did Uber Eats. I never did I'm going into stores and buying stuff for people because I didn't need to do it. I was just doing it honestly out of boredom and to kill time between jobs. At what point do you think he got suspicious? Because I don't know if you see everything at once or if it's just you see it as a list. Would you get suspicious at the hatchet? No. Would you get suspicious at bleach? No.
Trash bags? Two things together?
Maybe.
In what situation do you need both of those things?
It's the zip ties for me.
That's an odd thing.
That is the thing that would immediately be like, I don't think that this is okay. It's the zip ties that immediately make me suspicious.
Yeah, the last time I bought zip ties was when I needed to attach the canvas to my pergola in the back.
Right.
Like, it's not something we need very often
and
around the house.
It'd be one thing, too, if you were delivering this to a house. He was delivering it to a hotel room.
Right.
Why would you need it at a hotel room?
Well, there's a scene in 50 Shades of Grey that is this almost this. It's not really the hatchet, but it's very much a parallel to this.
I swear to you.
Including the zip ties. What?
Just the disturbing. No, the 50 Shades of Grey aspect. I could go on about that, but I'm not going to. Just the women who are into that movie and those books. It's just interesting to me. Trash bag, zip ties, bleach, and a hatchet.
Mm-hmm. And other things that I wish I knew. I wish I knew more what the list was. Hot,
I'm assuming duct tape.
That's in 50 Shades. What else did they use in the movie that you want to throw in here?
Did he make her buy these things to make it seem suspicious?
No. A lot of men have seen it. That's okay. Not an odd question. A lot of men went with their female significant other. So, no, there's a scene in the first movie. For those who don't know what 50 Shades of Grey is about.
I think they know.
Look it up. But he is looking for an excuse to go into the hardware store where she works. They have met already. He's interested in her. He's looking for a reason to go into the hardware store. And he's not a normal person, so he doesn't think of normal things. He asks her for zip ties. And then duct tape comes up and other things that he's going to use
on her
at home.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes the joke. I can't remember what the joke is, but it's something about being a mass murderer. Like, are you a... It's something, a very awkward joke there. Yeah. And then he forgets the package at the store.
I'm sure there are men who watch 50 Shades of Grey. I thought you would know me well enough that I would not.
I don't know. Listen, I assume there are many parts of you that I don't have any. I didn't know you that long. I don't know.
That isn't one of them. That'd be like curious. The Twilight movies or something.
They're also
like
really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they're also like...
Well, that's...
Take the sex part out of it, but the writing is horrid. You turn it off in 5 minutes because of the writing.
Wasn't it... Yeah, I would. Weren't they based on like Twilight novels or something like that?
They were based on books. There were the 50 Shades books.
No, the books were, but I think the books were like started off as like Twilight fan fiction or something like that. And then E.L. James, the writer, turned them into 50. Boy, she's just turning out the hits, right?
You know how much money those movie and books made?
I'm assuming a lot.
I mean, she doesn't need to write anything more again ever because of the money that came out of that. We learned some things.
Women are so interesting.
We are deeper than...
Yeah,
it's because we were suppressed for so long. We weren't allowed to...
Yeah, well, it's that, but it's also, know? I think, like, men will just go right to the source. We'll just watch porn.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
Women have been like, no, there has to be a story. I need, like, the Hallmark version of porn, which is 50 Shades of Grey.
It's more socially acceptable for you guys to watch and consume all of that, and we're looked down upon.
I believe Travis went to... 50 Shades of Grey went to go see
Travis
it.
Walker, former
by himself,
producer.
Really? For some reason.
I don't think it's nice of you to be saying that about him when he's not here to defend himself.
He said it on air. I don't
still.
Yeah, I don't remember why, but I remember him talking about it and like seeing some people there and like with leather and whips and chains and stuff like that.
Maybe
it was a midnight screening. Maybe he needed it. I don't know. Yes. Quentin.
I can't believe you just used the phrase the Hallmark version of porn.
Yeah.
I can't believe
that's what
that
50
was
Shades of Grey is. That's exactly what it is.
Local company we're very proud of.
They're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They make great movies.
Wow, did this escalated?
Yeah.
I would say de-escalated.
Really, we started off talking
de-escalated.
We started talking about
is
a
the
guy
word I was looking for.
Ordering murder supplies on DoorDash and ended up talking about the Hallmark of porn. It's fine.
I have pulled four clips from this.
Oh, I thought you meant you pulled four clips from 50 Shades. Yeah.
Yeah, for Magic Moments on Friday.
Okay.
All right.
Still, okay, before 2 o'clock, at some point, I want to talk about the stowaway.
Yes.
And at some point, we need to mention Frank White.
Okay. Coming
in
up,
whatever order.
Let's talk about Frank White coming up and how he's trying to stop the recall election, which is happening tomorrow. Good luck, Frank. We'll talk about that next on Midday.
Tomorrow's the day. The recall election for Jackson County Executive Frank White Jr. Finally.
Sorry about that. It seemed like I was happy about it.
So a Missouri appeals court judge has denied a last minute attempt by Frank White Jr. to halt his recall election last Friday. A team of attorneys representing White filed an appeal to the Missouri Court of Appeals looking to halt tomorrow's election. Again, this was all about saying that the date was illegal. They wanted to prevent the circuit court's ruling that implemented the recall election date. If you remember, there was questions about the charter, the city's charter, and what date could be set for the recall election, whether it was going to be September 30th or a later date. The filing also asked the appeals court to send the matter back to a lower court to reschedule the election. I don't know why you're delaying the inevitable, but whatever. The appeals court provided clarity in a ruling today. The Court of Appeals had the opportunity to provide clarity. The appeals court said, and forgive the legalese here, being fully informed, the court denies the amended petition for writ, meaning the one that you asked for. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to find out, Channel 41 is trying to find out if there are any plans to appeal to the Missouri State Supreme Court, which would probably have to happen before, 5 p.m. today. Yeah. I don't know how fast all this can go. Assuming all of this goes as planned, the absentee voting has been underway. Polls tomorrow are set to open 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. in Jackson County.
What is it if they vote to recall, which I think the polling shows is likely, when does that happen?
If I'm not mistaken, in one scenario, Frank White could resign and appoint his... There were several paths forward.
Yeah.
There's one in which he appoints his successor. There's one in which the Jackson County legislature appoints that person. For sure, I would expect the Jackson County legislature to meet as soon as humanly possible to talk about it.
Well, again, point out to Frank White and the three or four supporters that he has left. All of this could have been avoided if he had just resigned.
Yeah.
Like if you had just stepped down, if it was obvious that the people were on board with the recall, they're not happy with the tax assessments as well as many other things. You could have avoided all of this instead of fighting it, instead of suing, instead of saying it's a big debacle and it's going to cost the county millions of dollars. You could save us all the money and all the time and just step down. But he chose not to. And I guess there's some dignity in that, but I don't really see it.
Fascinating.
Coming up, we are going to be talking about a song that Jamie heard.
So we were talking last week about misheard lyrics, and I heard a song, and I thought, I don't know any of the words to this song.
We'll
it was
see.
A big hit.
It's an Eddie Money song. It's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.